you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So let's go back to that story about illicit trade and how it remains one of the most persistent and damaging challenges to South Africa's economic stability and governance. Philip van Gils, Director of Illicit Trade Prevention at Philip Morris International, joins us now. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you, Tsepiso, and greetings to your auditors.
And I believe this report is keeping you rather busy. So what are conversations you're having about why is this the problem?
Yeah, well, you raise a good point. It is a problem because it's affecting the legitimate industry. In our specific sector, we're talking about more than 60% of the market, which is illicit. It also represents for the government annual loss of 18 billion rands. So it is an important problem. It's not specific to our industry. So we had, together with other multinational companies and local companies, we're supporting and endorsing these Traceit reports that provides a few recommendations in terms of policy matters.
Mm. And South Africa ranking 60th out of 158 countries, it's not something to celebrate, but not being at very much the bottom of the barrel, I suppose, is somewhat encouraging. So what are we getting horribly wrong, and where is there room for amplification of what may be seen as improvements?
Yeah, good question. I mean, the report outlines strong elements as taxation and economic environment, regulatory framework, and trade and customs, trade customs and borders. There are areas of improvements which are outlined in the report, and it touches on criminal enablers of illicit trade, supply chain intermediaries, and sectoral illicit trade indicators. So all in all, I think there was an agreement in this morning session about the fact that illicit trade is indeed a really economic issue, and that beyond enforcement, there are other areas to look at it, like regulation, fiscal policy, and deterrent penalties and sentences. And also another very important element that was outlined is the cooperation and coordination between the different law enforcement agencies and judicial agencies, like between STATS, SARS, and the National Prosecutor, for instance.
I want to just look at the comparisons that the index has between when you look at South Africa's scorecard compared to the global average and then the average on the continent. The figures are definitely not good. So I'm looking at the sectorial illicit trade indicators. So we are at 31.6, whereas the global average is 44.6, and on the continent is 43.2. But then if you look at a scorecard of trade, customs and borders, which is where typically people have very bad perceptions about our levels of corruption, is at 79.6 compared to 38.3 on the African continent. So I think those figures alone would blow a lot of people's minds. So let's drill into that particular index point and tell us what is happening there.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, one point is the index and the results. Another point is what can be done to address it. And I think this is the most important one, because that's where, you know, illicit trade can be really tackled. And I touch upon, you know, in South Africa, enforcement and regulation can be improved. Mm. And I can tell you, I'll give you an example of our industry. If we look at the in general, we as an investor, we have globally invest more than $14 billion in novel products that are scientifically substantiated and that are what we call smoke-free. So we want actually current smokers to switch to these better alternatives. Now, if we look at the Tobacco Products and Electronic Delivery System Control Bill that is in its current form tabled at the Parliament, it does not incentivize the consumers that would otherwise continue to smoke to switch to better alternatives. And this is an example where, you know, policies and regulation can also drive to modernize the economy and get people to switch to better alternatives that are at a reasonable price. Because what is today the case in South Africa is that there are a lot of cheap, unregulated products available, which are at a price point significantly lower than the legitimate business. And while, you know, organizations and criminal organizations are making a lot of profit at the expense of the government and the society at large. And that is where, you know, this money that is there should be better collected and invested in developing the South African economy.
So when you talk about modernization of the regulatory framework, is it the spirit in which the law is written, or is it the lack of wrong implements? Because when I'm thinking about digitization, it is a double-edged sword. On the one level, it could be programmed to be impenetrable, but at the same time, it's not necessarily impenetrable, isn't it? Because the cyber attacks continue, and the hackers who are smarter than the designers find their way through. So if we're talking about vulnerabilities like in e-commerce, how do you then make sure you safeguard yourself that what you intended to do, actually, it gets done?
Yeah. Now, on the cybercrime and illicit online, on the online platforms, we, for instance, have developed, we're using AI tools to monitor and report illicit activities that we see there. But that's also where one of the recommendations that were discussed today is maybe also to combine the law enforcement authorities with the private sector into common platforms where intelligence can be shared in a trustful manner, and where also it can go beyond only the country itself, but also across the countries. And Tracit was also sharing an example that they've implemented in Latin America, where several countries partner together with the private sector to address these issues of cross-border criminal activities, particularly on online, because the online space doesn't know any border.
So when you talk about interagency cooperation or coordination as being a good deterrent, when I'm just even looking at the lists and the indexes themselves, often, as I said, the perception is that it's state actors that are the ones who are behind a great deal of the corruption that we see. So it means a need to root out of the supply chain systems and intermediaries opportunities or loopholes for corruption. So you spoke about international best practice. What are the countries that we can look at and say, you know, the context is the same, the capacity is the same, this is the manner in which we should be moving?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I mean, I can outline an example that comes to, two examples that comes to my mind. One is the Philippines, which were also exposed to a high level of illicit trade, where there was a clear governmental will to address it. And they made it an adamant will to address it. And what they did is that they order all the manufacturers to be fully registered with all their supply chain intermediaries and with their products. Their products that have to comply with very well established standards. And that allowed the law enforcement authorities to have a list of, a positive list, if you want, of products that are legitimate on the market, and to be able to identify in a more efficient way the ones that were not legitimate, and then to go after them. And a last point, which is also very important, is that they significantly increased the penalties and the sentence connected to illicit trade, and they made a lot of case. So when they arrest these illicit traders, they also amplify and showcase these arrests, and prove to the large community of what were the implemented sentences. So this has a clear deterrent effect. A similar approach has been done recently in Egypt. So there are examples of where it can work, but it needs really from the top to down political will, which we see also signs in South Africa that there is a willingness. There are some streams that are established now between the government and trade association like BUSA, BLSA, that were also part of this morning event with TRACIP, and that establish a dialogue to recommend some of these steps that I touch upon to the government.
When we talk about taxation and the economic environment, and you'll tell me if I'm veering off course here, South Africa, we have, as you know, sent taxes to tax those products that are not only harmful to the body, but to make sure that, well, at least in principle, the money goes to those items that should be accessible for to, you know, avoid food insecurity, for instance. But at the same time, as we saw during COVID, when your index talks about the amount of money that the illicit trade in tobacco and alcohol alone costs the country, 30 billion rand lost revenue. I often wonder, is it because people really don't know in some cases about the illegality of it? What they really see is feeding a need, and the cheaper they can get it, the better. And of course, also turning a blind eye to the possibility of the harm they could cause themselves. But what is the core reason why this particular sector is, you know, netting so much from the economy in lost revenue?
Yeah, I think that the point that you raise is very valid. I mean, of course, there is much more that needs to be done in terms of consumer awareness what are the consequences of consuming illicit products. Another point, which is also important, is that what you call the sin tax are quite high, and that create a huge space between legitimate and illicit products. And so in our case, for instance, the minimum collectible tax is at 25 rand per tag, whereas these illicit products can be found to 5 to 10 rand. So there's a big incentives indeed for consumers to switch to these illicit products. So in terms of fiscal approach, one have to look at to what level we can go. That's one thing. And the other thing, which is also important, which I touch upon, is that if industries are developing better alternative products that are scientifically proven to be less harmful, there should be also fiscal incentives to drive those consumers mm-hmm. that are smoking illicit to go to these better alternatives. So you match a kind of revenue optimization and together with public health policy objectives. And I think this is also an important element together with making a deterrent for the illicit traders to benefit from their activities.
And as you say, the bigger picture here is that this reading of the index and where South Africa's ranking is that it erodes investor confidence. We've seen what South Africa being put on the grey list has done. But I'm also interested in the issue of how it further entrenches the broader organized criminal activity. South Africa has a reputation of not only harboring so-called terrorists, and not just because of our porous borders, but as what we're seen as, that you get the biggest fugitives, international fugitives, making a home here and restarting their businesses.
Yeah. Now, this is on a global level. It's clearly that these criminal organization syndicates are often taking an easy business, like for instance in the tobacco, to raise and to collect money, and to also finance other criminal activities that include to the issue of migration of and people that they displace, or they can be go to drugs, or and they have obviously also big money laundering activities. So they use the proceeds of this to do other illicit activities. That's one of the big problems. That's also an area and the money laundering scheme, where law enforcement authorities in general across the world, not only in South Africa, are trying to catch up to address it. So, you know, monitoring the illicit financial flow is definitely also a very good means to address illicit trade in general.
And I'm just going to end off, as we spoke about awareness, consumer behavior, how can we change that? You know, that thing of benefiting from easy, cheaper goods when you know they're being fenced, they've been stolen from your next door neighbor, but because you've always had this aspirational goal of owning this, driving that. I mean, there's a lot of people who are being hijacked, killed just because somebody would like to drive a Porsche, and somebody has to die for it. So what would your advice be to people?
I think what we saw as good practices is indeed organizing campaigns to, on one side, make consumers aware of what kind of activities they are financing when they buy illicit products, and on the other side,
are you still with us? Okay, and it seems like we've lost to Philip Funkhurst, Director of Illicit Trade Prevention at Philip Morris International. We're just getting to the good part of the conversation for you and I. What you think may be harmless. And one of the things I was thinking about is the human trafficking sector, which is something that is growing in South Africa at alarming rates. And what he was just basically saying is consumer behavior, what we need to understand that when we buy certain goods at a certain price, under certain circumstances, there are certain illicit activities that we are, by association, then funding ourselves. Philip Funkhurst, Director of Illicit Trade Prevention at Philip Morris International, as we're looking at the Global Illicit Trade Index, South Africa ranking 60th.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.